From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. 2008 was a banner year for job loss. Reports say it hasn't been this bad since Franklin Delano Roosevelt started his fourth term. And never mind recession, some economists are starting to sound the warning bell of a depression. Will another stimulus package reverse the trends? Here to help us make sense of all of this is our regular economics contributor, Keith Reed. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Farah, how's it going?
You know, things can be better employment-wise, but we just have to forge ahead with this bad news. Unemployment numbers for 2008 came in before the weekend. They are chilling. Worst years for jobs since 1945, read the headlines. 2.6 million jobs disappeared. What's going to turn it around?
It's difficult to say what's going to turn around at this point. I mean, they've thrown everything that they have at this crisis. At this point, when I say they, meaning Washington has thrown everything that it has at this crisis. I mean, we've seen, you saw stimulus packages from the Bush administration when the recession was in its nascent stages. You've seen the Obama administration already begin some work on a stimulus package that they hope to get ready to be signed when he takes office or shortly thereafter. There's been all types of measures. Nothing has worked to get this economy moving, and we're really at a point where this thing has snowballed. If you'll think back a couple of months when we first began talking about this, Farai, much of this started again in the housing market, and then that the cold that the housing market had made its way into general lending markets. That lending seized up. It made things bad in the United States, but it also made things bad for banks around the world. And now we're at a point where it's very difficult to tell where to start. You can't say, well, let's start at housing because it's not just housing. You can't say, let's start at lending because it's not just lending. It's also employment. So what do you do to get it fixed? It's very difficult to tell at this point.
Well, there are a couple of economic indicators that people look at. One of them is how many hours a week people work. And it's now down to 33.3 hours a week. What's happening there?
Well, one of the things that you look at is many people, even though you there's a difference between a salaried employee and an hourly employee, and many people who will get a job and they say, well, you make $80,000 a year, but what you're still a salaried employee. If you look at your pay stub, you'll see that there's actually an hourly rate, and what they do is they divide that $80,000 a year up by an hourly rate. At a certain point, when you talk about those full timers who have salaries that work that way, or when you talk about the many part-time employees that you have in the country, that gives an employer some leeway to cut back on the number of hours that their employees are working. That also gives them the leeway to be able to cut back, even in some instances, on the benefits that you're paying, particularly for a part-time worker. A little anecdote here: I was in a supermarket not that long ago down in Cincinnati, and as I'm standing in line, a manager walked over to the cashier and said, do you want to go home? And the cashier and the manager actually got in an argument because the cashier's saying, listen, you've cut my hours already by about 6 hours this week, and I've got rent to make, and it's time to pay my bills, and I need to be here. Well, how often do you hear people say, when their boss comes to them and say, do you want to go home early? No, I don't want to go home early. I still need to be here, and get into an argument over that. People's hours are being cut back because the employers are trying to find ways to cut costs, but that's having, again, another negative impact on people's paychecks.
I met one guy who's doing very well. He deals with bankruptcies, and that is one of the few job markets where I'm sure the people who work in that field are doing pretty well. Is there anything else going on?
It's difficult to say. I mean, this recession has been so broad, and you do tend to see in some other instances, or in the past you've seen in some other instances where certain sectors have been kind of recession proof, or you've seen many people who have lost their jobs start up new businesses, and you see new business creation and small businesses start to do some hiring. That hasn't been so much the case this time around, again, because so much of this has affected the financial sector, the banking sector, where it's very difficult for any employer or any new startup to borrow. So the best you could say for in terms of where to look for jobs is people have to be flexible. I don't know that I could name any one particular sector where things are going great right now, where it's easier to find a job than another one. But you've got to be flexible. You've got to be willing to move. You've got to be willing to look at career, a different career paths, maybe not what you went to school for, or maybe not even what you've thought you were interested in. Flexibility is going to be the rule if you're looking for a job right now.
So let's move to the issue of foreclosures. Citigroup reached a deal with the Senate that might provide some relief. What are the terms?
Well, essentially what Citigroup agreed to is allowing bankruptcy court judges to modify the terms of some of their mortgages held by their borrowers in the instance that person would file for bankruptcy. Banks had been very, very loath to say this, and they've made the argument that, A, it would cost them, some money. Sometimes they'd lose principal, they'd lose interest income, and even in some instances, some of the principal that they'd lent to some of their lenders. But at this point, with Citigroup capitulating to this and saying, well, you know, we've got to do this to try to keep some of the people out of foreclosures and prevent having to take possession of these houses and resell them, now you're probably going to see a lot of the other banks agree to it as well. This is probably a foregone conclusion that this is going to be pretty widespread throughout the banking industry. Again, maybe too little too late for many homeowners, maybe too little too late for some of the banks to prevent some of the losses that they might have prevented if this had happened, say, 12 to 18 months ago.
Now, what about this whole program, Hope for Homeowners? Is it successful? That's, you know, the questions are being raised now about whether or not it's actually reaching who it's intended for.
Well, I think it's questionable whether many of these programs out here are actually helping. If you take a look at there was a report that came out recently that said many of the people whose loans were modified in 2008 or in early 2008, those loans, a certain percentage of those people, I think it's about half or a little bit more than half, were delinquent again or were defaulting again, in danger of defaulting again within 6 months or less than a year. That shows that some of the help that's supposed to be there for these homeowners isn't really reaching the right people. Or it might show that in many instances, and I've said this before, that in a lot of cases it doesn't, I won't say it doesn't make sense to modify the loan, but in some instances, a lot of people just paid way too much for the house that they bought. A lot of people just, there's no way you're going to be able to modify a loan or put somebody into a program or get somebody lending counseling if they make a $40,000 salary and the house that they were approved to buy cost $300,000 or $400,000. It's just not going to work. It doesn't matter what you do. That person will never be able to make the monthly payments on that house and be able to keep it. So in some instances, the answer is no. The help is not reaching the people that it should help, or even when the help is reaching, the program is reaching the targeted home buyer, it's still not enough to do what was necessary.
What about the local and regional impact of this? I mean, you know, you're in Ohio. What about cities like Cleveland and Cincinnati? Are there any things that they're going through that are similar, for example, to Detroit, or is it more like, California or Florida? What's going on in the state?
Very, very different perspectives from different ends of the state. Ohio broadly has a pretty big concentration of jobs that are related to the auto industry. There are many suppliers and companies that do all types of residual business for the automotive industry, particularly here in the Cleveland area, because Cleveland again is so close to Detroit. And in the fortunes of many people here, it's a very blue-collar town, and in some regards, many of the neighborhoods in Cleveland were already down on their luck because of the loss of manufacturing and the loss of blue-collar jobs. Those that had never come back from decades ago, and today, the fortunes have sort of turned right back around. Cincinnati's a little bit different because Cincinnati is not as dependent on the blue-collar jobs as Cleveland is. Cincinnati, in large part, is a more white-collar town. It has many Fortune 500 companies headquartered in its city center. You look at your Procter & Gamble's, you look at your Kroger's, you look at your Macy's, Inc., all located right in downtown Cincinnati. Some of those companies are able to weather the storm. We talk about a recession-proof company. Procter & Gamble, to a certain extent, is as recession-proof as it gets because everybody has to buy toilet paper. Everybody has to buy deodorant. It doesn't matter whether you have a job or not. You got to have it. Everybody has to have soap. Macy's, not so much. It's a retailer. People are spending less money. That's going to hurt that company a little bit more than it would hurt, say a Procter & Gamble. But overall, Ohio is suffering from a lot of the problems that you see many of the other Midwestern states suffer from: heavy automotive-related job losses. The agricultural sector isn't really doing great. Their costs are up for the farming businesses in rural parts of Ohio, and foreclosures in the urban centers, especially Cleveland and in some parts of Cincinnati, very, very high at this point.
All right, and just really, literally, a one-sentence answer. We talked to some people on Friday about whether or not they thought the federal government would come to the aid of Michigan and Florida. They said yes. What do you think for Ohio?
I think the federal government will come to the aid to an extent, but it won't be, just like everywhere else in the country, it won't be to as great an extent, and it'll be too little too late. I think they're just trying to play catch up, and whatever they do at this point will not help sort of the natural cycle of this recession turn around any more quickly than it already will.
All right, Keith, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Keith Reed, our regular economics contributor, and you can find more of his financial wisdom online at Keith Reed's Money Corner. He joined us from the studios of WCPN in Cleveland.